Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Wommen, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on the Believer's Authority was recorded at our 2009 Atlanta Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
That doesn't mean that it's okay to just go live in sin, because even though God isn't bringing His wrath on it, Satan is gaining inroad to people through sin, and he's just destroying people's lives. And so you should quit living in sin. I'm not advocating sin, but I'm saying God's not going to bring His wrath and His punishment upon sin. God is not the one judging you for your sin. He judged Jesus for your sin. And it would be double jeopardy to make Jesus and you pay. He doesn't do that. Thank you for all three of those amens. Look over in Exodus chapter 22 at another example. This is Moses, and he had been up on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments, and he had been in the presence of God for 40 days and for 40 nights. And in Exodus chapter 32, in verse 7, this is while he was in the presence of God after getting these commandments. Exodus chapter 32 in verse 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. You know, this is always amazing to me. When the Lord told Moses to go down to Pharaoh, he says, Go into Pharaoh and say, Let my people go. When he came to redeem them out of Egypt, they were his people. Let my people go. But now that they messed up, he says, Go get your people that you brought out. It reminds me of a husband and wife. When the kid wins the award, that's my son. But when he messes up, look what your son did. Amen. The Lord is saying, Your people that you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. And they have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of them a great nation. You know, this is an amazing thing. The Lord is saying, Moses, get out of my way. Don't mess with me. Don't plead with me, because you can turn me. You can keep me from doing what I want to do. That is absolutely astounding, that God Almighty would take our heart, our wishes into account. And that's not because we are so special. It's because God is so special. It shows how much God loves you. God loves us so much that, you know what? We can turn God's heart and keep Him from doing what He had planned to do. He says, Moses, get out of my way. Don't plead with me, because I want to just destroy these people, wipe them out, and start over again. That's an amazing fact. And so, what verse? In verse 11, And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people? He reminded him, he says, They're still your people, they aren't my people. Why does your wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought out of the land of Egypt with power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, For mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Again, this is amazing. He's basically saying, Lord, how is this going to look on your resume? How are people, this is not going to be a public relations deal. If you do this, it's going to hurt your reputation. What are the people of the earth going to think when they hear this? It's amazing to me that he would talk to God this way. And then he says, repent. Here's Moses telling God to repent. That's amazing. And look at verse 14. If you go down to verse 14, it says, And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. It's amazing that Moses said, repent. And it's even more amazing that God repented. And of course, theologians who come up with that God is omniscient and all of these things, and that God knows everything, and that nothing is really like it appears in the Bible. They would say this was rhetorical, that God was just doing these things and knew what he intended to do all of the time. And he just did this to force Moses into a position of intercession, but God never was going to do it. Nobody could ever change God. Look at this verse in Psalms 106 real quickly. Let me just read this to you. Out of Psalms 106. In verse 21 it says, "They forgot God their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore he said that he would destroy them, had not Moses his chosen stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them." You can say this however you want to. The Bible says he would have destroyed them if Moses hadn't have stood in the breach. God was about to wipe out the entire nation because they had made this molten calf and were worshiping it. After he had done these terrible judgments on it, on Egypt, and had done these wonderful things for his people, they just rejected him, and God was about to wipe them out. And Moses stood there and said, "Repent, turn from this evil." And God repented. You know what? There's people that use this exact passage of Scripture to teach how we should pray and intercede for America and plead for people and, "Oh God, turn from your wrath." You know, I had a woman come to me not too long ago, and she says, "I know that God answers your prayers. I've been praying for my husband for 25 years, and he's not born again yet, but I believe that if you pray, God would hear your prayers and my husband would be saved." And she asked me to pray for her husband. And I said, "I will not do it." And that woman just looked at me like, "What's wrong?" And I said, "You know, the way you've presented it, you are making it like God could save your husband if he wanted to, and he doesn't want to. He won't listen to you, but maybe he would listen to me. And so you want me to try and coerce God to save your husband." I said, "That is an insult to God." She was just stunned, but that's the way most people pray. God's done everything to save the world that he can. He sent Jesus. He's already borne your sins. He sent the Holy Spirit. And it's not up to God whether people get saved. You can't pray and claim somebody and make them get saved. The Holy Spirit is running and trying to speak to people. But you know what? He chose through the foolishness of preaching that people get born again. People aren't being born again today because they aren't hearing the truth. And somebody's got to speak the truth to them. It's not God who's not wanting them to be saved and not sending the Holy Spirit. There is a lack of truth going out. There's a deception. And very few of us are doing much about it. We're in our closet praying that God will save them when he told us to go preach the gospel and heal the sick and cleanse the leper. People get born again by the truth. "You shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free." It says in John chapter 8 verse 32. It says in John chapter 17 verse 17 that you'll sanctify them through that truth. Your word is truth. It's the truth that sets you free. It's the word that sets people free. It says in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God, which lives and abides forever." The word of God is how people get born again. And you can't just sit there and pray and, "Oh God, would you save this person?" That's an insult to the Lord, as if he doesn't care about them. You know, along the lines of what Abraham did here, when I first got turned on to the Lord, I started all night prayer meetings. And we were praying and begging God and trying to plead with God to send revival. And this is before I spoke in tongues. And you know what? You can pray for the whole world in 30 minutes when you don't speak in tongues. And so these all-night prayer meetings would last 30 minutes or an hour. And everybody would be gone and I'd still be there praying by myself. And anyway, I actually heard myself say this one time. I was pleading. I was crying. I was screaming. I was hitting my fist against the wall. "Oh God, send revival." And I actually had this come out of my mouth. I said, "God, if you love the people in Arlington, Texas, half as much as I do, we'd have revival." And when I said that, I thought, something's wrong with this picture. And yet, you're laughing, but you know what? Many of you have done the same thing. You think, "Oh God, please, oh God, don't repent, turn from this fierce wrath. Oh God, have mercy on these people." That was appropriate for Moses to pray, but it's inappropriate for you to pray. There's a difference. I'm going to show you that difference more in just a moment. But there is a difference, and you cannot pray the way that Moses prayed. That's an insult to Jesus. Amen or oh me. Look in Numbers chapter 16 at another example of this. This is where Korah, Dathan, and Abiram came out against Moses and said, "You aren't the only person that God speaks through. We're priests. We're Levites. God's also spoken by us." And they wanted part of the control of the nation of Israel. And so Moses said, "All right, you get a censer, you put fire in it, and you appear before the Lord tomorrow, and we'll offer our incense, and we'll let God choose who's supposed to be the leader." Well, the Levites didn't even honor Moses enough to even follow his instruction. They didn't even show up the next day. They just snubbed him. They weren't even going to show up. And boy, Moses got mad, and Moses stood and he says, "If these people die a natural death, then you'll know that I'm not a true prophet. But if something brand new happens so that the earth opens up and swallows them alive into the pit, then you'll know that I'm the prophet of God." That's pretty strong. And immediately the earth opened up and swallowed Korah, Dathan, and Abiram and 250 priests into the earth, and then it closed upon them. Pretty strong. I think God showed who was chosen by God. And then look at this. It says in verse 41, "But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, 'You've killed the people of the Lord.' And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked towards the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, 'Get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment.' And they fell upon their faces." Here again is the same thing that he said over in Exodus chapter 32. He says, "Moses, get out of my way. Let me have my wrath."
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the Believer's Authority. The Believer's Authority is available for the very first time in book form and can be ordered through bookstores nationwide. Or you can receive a copy when you send a gift of any amount for the work of this ministry. Request book R327 when you write or call or when you go to our website. A Spanish version is also available. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Atlanta Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series RM234 or DVD series R3205 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The 5th CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the 5th teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to encourage you to come out and participate in one of our Gospel Truth seminars. I know sometimes people who listen on the radio think, "Well, I've already heard what you've got to say," but it's just totally different when you get into a meeting and we develop an atmosphere of faith, and we have Bible college students and people there praying, and we see a lot of miracles happen. And I go out an hour before every service. I'm usually one of the last ones to leave. There's a lot of ministry that takes place, and I tell you, it would be a tremendous blessing to you. It's quite different than just our radio programs. So check our listings and come visit us at one of our Gospel Truth seminars.